Nursing Care in Seizure Disorders, Part 2. It is a major responsibility of the nurse to observe and record the march of symptoms during a convulsion or any other type of attack whenever possible. Among seizure-prone patients, such as those with head injuries, daydreaming, inactivity, non-concentration on mental or physical tasks are conducive to attacks. Nocturnal seizures, therefore, may be frequent. A well-observed and well-recorded observation, including the patient's activities immediately preceding the attack, may indicate to the doctor which areas of the brain are involved. The primary nursing objective, however, is to keep an open airway and to prevent injury to the patient. Suctioning may be necessary. In some hospitals, if you reach her side during a warning aura before her jaws clench, a bite stick may be inserted to keep her from biting her tongue. Remove from the vicinity anything she might hit in flailing about. This specifically includes lowering or padding the side rails. But stand ready to block any fall from an unprotected bedside. If possible, turn her on her side. Since she cannot swallow during a seizure, the lateral position helps keep the airway clear. Give her as much privacy as possible. Do not involve other patients or even more hospital staff than is absolutely necessary. Remove the bedclothes, both to facilitate observation and to eliminate all possible constraints on the patient. Remember the time and the first observed signs of the impending attack. What attracted your attention? Was there a cry? Were you there when the attack began, or was it in progress when you arrived? What was the patient's initial action in seizure? What part or parts of the body were involved? Which limbs moved first, left or right? Did the head turn? Which direction? What was the overall body position? Was there tonic stiffening? Was it generalized or localized? How long did each stage last? Did the eyes deviate? What direction? Independently or together? Did they jerk, as in nystagmus? Did the pupils change in size? Were they equal in size? Did their reaction to light change after the seizure? Was there frothing at the mouth? Any blood or other signs of tongue-cheek damage? Did she appear cyanotic? What was the character of her respirations? Deep? Shallow? Did it change during the course of the seizure? Where did the clonic phase begin? Was there an order of spread? Did the character of the movements change? How long did the convulsions last? Was she incontinent of urine? Of feces? If so, during what stage of the attack? After the convulsions cease, note if there is any paralysis or decrease in motor power or any apparent injury. If there were changes, did they persist? And if so, how long? Evaluate her state of consciousness after the seizure and determine her ability to speak. As soon as she is able, help the patient orient herself and regain her composure and self-confidence. If she has been incontinent, be matter of fact. Work calmly. Change the bed linen and provide her with fresh clothing while encouraging her to vent her feelings. She may have muscle soreness. A back rub may help. Try to determine if she remembers anything about the seizure, especially if she had a recognizable aura or warning. Do not be too persistent in your efforts to make the patient comfortable. She has been through an exhausting ordeal and would much prefer sleep to conversation. Put up the side rails and let her rest. Stay close to the bedside, however, to protect her from injury should there be recurring attacks. In review, Nursing observations during seizure should include the character of the tonic or stiffening phase, if such a phase was noted. Remember the parts of the body which were involved and the order of their involvement. Throughout the attack, check the eyes for deviation, eyeball rolling, or jerking. Note if one or both pupils change size during the attack, and if their reaction to light varied. Note any changes in the character of respiration during the attack, whether it was shallow or deep, and if there was any apparent cessation. Check for frothing at the mouth, noting any blood or other signs of injury. Note where the clonic or jerking phase began, the order of spread, the character of the movements, and the duration of the convulsion. Note also when incontinence, if any, occurred. In the postictal phase, after the convulsions subside, check for any apparent injuries, any paralysis or decrease in motor power. Finally, evaluate the patient's state of consciousness and ability to speak. Check frequently on all seizure-prone patients. One seizure may predispose to others, and should status epilepticus, a rapid succession of seizures, develop, he should not be left alone, and the physician should be notified immediately. Pay particular attention to keeping the airway open. Suctioning may sometimes be necessary to remove obstructing mucus. The early administration of luminal sodium subcutaneously or intramuscularly may terminate the attack. Or the physician may prescribe intravenous administration of luminal, Dilantin, or Valium. If such sedating measures fail, a general anesthesia may be necessary. Pentothal sodium has been used successfully. Because there has been hypermetabolism in the brain, supplementary oxygen and IV glucose may be required. Remember that status epilepticus is a medical emergency. Without intensive treatment and care, exhaustion and severe acidosis can lead to death. Preparation for discharge begins with in-hospital education as maintenance drug therapy is stabilized. Show the patient how proper oral hygiene can prevent or delay the gingival hypertrophy often coincident to such drug therapy. Demonstrate the techniques for proper oral hygiene. Place a special emphasis on stimulation of the gums. Successful management of the seizure-prone patient after discharge is heavily dependent upon the cooperation of the patient and his family. Hospital treatment will have proceeded on two fronts: treatment and control of the seizures themselves, and the discovery and treatment of any discernible factors causing or precipitating the seizures. Even when such causative or precipitating factors as organic lesions, infections, and endocrine abnormalities have been corrected, continued medical therapy for control of seizures is usually necessary. This is true even if there has been surgical intervention, which may reduce the frequency or severity of seizures without completely eliminating them. The physician will explain that drug therapy can control seizures in most patients, but that determination of the optimum drug or combination of drugs may take time, since patients and seizure types vary so greatly. It is essential that the patient have the help of his family in keeping to the prescribed schedule, in watching for side effects, and in guarding against conditions predisposing to seizure attacks. Amplify the physician's instructions to the patient and his family. Impress upon them that failure to take medications as prescribed is the largest single factor causing seizures to recur. Impress upon them also the importance of immediately reporting to the doctor any seizure activity or any unpredicted or excessive side effects of medication. Warn them to watch for sedation, ataxia, nystagmus, rashes, and gingival hypertrophy. Show the patient samples of the cards, bracelets, and identification tags available to alert anyone attempting to treat him while he is unconscious that he is subject to seizures. Tell him how to obtain these warning devices or cards, and encourage him to always have one on his person. Keep in mind the probable long-term nature of his treatment. Stress the importance of periodic consultations with the physician for tests and possible modification of the medication schedule. Advise him to get adequate sleep and avoid excessive fatigue and emotional strain. Severe stress of any kind appears to be conducive to seizure attacks. Encourage the family to help the patient pursue as normal and active a life as possible. Assure them that reasonable activity, mental and physical, has been proven to be seizure inhibiting. Less importance is attached to diet than formerly, but alcohol should usually be avoided, and large amounts of any fluid should not be drunk, since water intoxication is a common seizure precipitator. The patient and his family should undertake, if they have not already done so, a detailed analysis of the patient's activities, so that if a seizure does occur, precipitating factors may be pinpointed. At the same time, no feeling of inferiority or invalidism should be attached to the patient. Over-solicitude and overprotection must be guarded against. The person who has suffered one or more seizures, who is subject to grand mal or any of the other types of seizures, may think of himself as markedly different, incapable of normal functioning. However, with proper medical management for diagnosis, elimination of causative factors, and institution of drug therapy, and with strict adherence to the drug regimen and other therapeutic measures, most seizure-prone persons can lead normal, socially productive lives. This concludes the second of two programs on seizure disorders produced by Trainex Corporation.